real fast. Song after the lesson, song you've heard from that boy.
Good evening. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come and speak to y'all tonight. I always enjoy going different places. The title of this one tonight is called One Shot. And if you could guess, it's about David and Goliath. But we're going to look closely at David and Goliath, far from the what people usually use as children's stories, but more of a in-depth look at it. So I'm going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Be a lot of reading right off the bat, so just bear with me. If you want to keep it marked, we'll come back to it throughout. So we're going to go 31 all the way to 51. It says, "Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of your servant. We'll go and fight with the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, 'The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, the Lord be with you.' So Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.' So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him and said to the Philistine, 'Looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come with me to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give into our hands. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, and David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, cut off his head with it." So we're going to get into the shot. That's the first thing. Every single one of us in this audience, in the entire world, has been given a shot. A lot of people don't use it wisely, and that's what we're trying to help out with tonight. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So from the very beginning, God gave us that shot. He gave past generations that shot, and the moment we were brought into this world, we had that shot. He gave us a brain to think with. He gave us a heart. He gave us all of our muscular system and our nervous system. He gave us all these things to where we can feel and know what to do and what not to do. It's just like your nervous system. If you ever go try to touch a fire, it burns. And whether or not you want to listen to whoever is telling you not to touch it the first time around, you're going to listen the second time. But we've all been given a shot from the day we was born. But we must use it wisely. Most people in today's society, I would say, I don't have a statistic on it, but I would say the vast majority of people don't go to church of any kind. And the whole world especially, but even in this country. And that's not being very wise with the time that you've been given, especially since God is the one that has given you the time to use it. They would much rather spend it on football games this bowl season or some kind of party or just some show that's coming on TV. They don't want to spend it here worshiping God. People say, well, what? Someone might ask you, say, what are you doing Sunday night? I'm coming to church. Are we coming to church? We're not. We're here to worship. We're here to praise God. The church is all of us. So all of us together make it up. We're not going to church. We're here to praise God. But a lot of people get that messed up. Even if you go to church regular basis, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, that's not all. I did a sermon this morning on, it wasn't the armor of God, but it was to put on kindness and have a heart of compassion. These are all things that we have to carry with us throughout life to be examples to other people. We can't just do it on Sunday and then go out and be whoever we want to on Monday. We have to be consistent because people's always watching us, especially Christians, because they know how we're supposed to act. But a lot of times they catch us acting in ways that we shouldn't be. Turn me to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Verse 32 through 36. It says, now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. God is saying, hear their instruction. God's given us instructions on how we are supposed to live our life. It's not like we were born and we've been blindly walking through life this whole time. We have God's word right here in front of us. You can get it anywhere. I have probably 5 or 6 Bibles of my own at the house. It's not hard knowledge to come by. Now, it takes studying in order to remember certain things and the vast majority of knowledge that's in it. But that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to know it. It's like with me when I used to take tests in school. I would just go through my little worksheet, my study guide, and I would remember all the answers to it. I never would try to read any questions. I would just say, well, 21's A, 22's B, and I would go down through there, and that's how I would try to pass. I never tried to gain knowledge as to what I was doing, and that's what a lot of people do with the Bible. We'll read through, and we don't pick anything up. We just read it because we know we're supposed to, but we're not ever really paying attention. But God's saying, the instruction's here, be wise. Listen to it. That's all I'm asking. It's there for you. Just don't ignore it. And whoever finds me finds life. We live a life now, but there's nothing else after without God. You can live it the way you want to, and you might be I don't know. Some people might be content that way. I know that if I didn't have God in my life, I wouldn't be content with the way I was living my life. I wouldn't have a purpose behind it. So the instructions there, we have to be wise with that shot, the instructions that we have been given. We must concentrate on our shot. Even David studied Goliath. He studied the Philistines before he went in. Back to verse 45 in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, "Then said David to the Philistines, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David knew what he was getting into. He knew the weapons they had, as many people as they had, the stature of these people. He knew it all. He went in there prepared and with faith. Because obviously, if you looked at the way David stacked up to Goliath, you would probably think they'd lose too. But as we know, the Lord delivered him into his hands, like he said he would. We've been given all the tools to succeed. David was given extra tools, but they were tools that weren't necessary for him. And for that moment in the battle, Saul tried to give him chain mail and this armor and shield and spear, and that was unnecessary. Don't you think that we do a lot of things in our life that we feel at the time is something that we need, it's something that's going to help us progress through life, but in God's eyes, it's irrelevant. All these things that we want because for whatever reason we think it's going to make our life easier. That's not the tools that we've been given for salvation. But God's given us that. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. To die for people that hated Him. To die for people that wasn't living at the time. Either dead or just not born yet. Knowing that these people still wouldn't, some might never appreciate what He did. But He died anyway. God give us that tool, that avenue of grace and forgiveness and for salvation. And we just have to listen sometimes. We just have to use the main tool that's in front of us. Second thing is the training. If we live a life for God, we will be ready. We're not living it for me. We're not living it for you. It's for God. Everything we do in our life should be directed towards God, should be for God. There's a lot of philosophies now. You have Stoicism and you have Nihilism, and it's all about only you can change your life. You are the only person that can control anything that goes on in your life. And that's not true. The fact of the matter is we can't control anything because we sin and fall short every day. We have to rely on God to get us through. But that's the big philosophy in today's society is me, me, me. I can do it. I don't need anybody else. But none of us can do it on our own. But David's confident in his training. He talks about whenever he was watching the sheep, watching his flock. A lion come, take one, he went and slayed the lion. Bear come, took one, he went and slayed the bear. He was very used to using his sling, very capable with it. Of course, no one else would have ever thought that, but they don't see the things that David was doing. So he knew going in. Like just like we should in our everyday walks of life, at work, at school, at wherever it is, we should be confident in the knowledge that we have from God's Word, to where any situation that comes up, we should be able to figure something out, figure a way out of it, or to help somebody. Any questions that arise, people have questions that you're not going to know fully. You'll have an idea, but it might not be the best answer you can give them at the time. But we have to be confident in the knowledge that we have in our lives in order to know that I can walk through life, and yeah, I want to fall, but I'm gonna be able to distinguish right from wrong more throughout my life than I am not. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Talking about God. Whether we can't see in the future. Our life now may be looking pretty rough. But God will show us the path if we remain faithful. God will show us the way we need to go. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are different from our thoughts. We aren't supposed to understand how some things unfold in our life. We never will. We don't know what the purpose of it was for. But we just have to know that God has the best interest for us. He is there to guide us in the right direction. We just have to put our effort in too. He can do all He can for us, but the one thing is we do have free will. He's going to let us make the mistakes that we want to make. He's told us not to, but it ain't stopped us before. We can be confident that we are being trained in the correct way, even when we don't understand the plan. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Jesus is the light of the world. God's word is the light. No matter how dark it seems in your life, no matter how dark it seems anywhere, God will find you a path. He'll show you the path. Final thing is the target. That's the most important part. Because before you start this training and before you start this walk in your life, you have to have a goal. Most people don't get out of high school and have no idea in the slightest what they want to do. You have some ideas. You might not know what your career is going to turn out to be, but you have an idea of what you're aiming for. And we have to have that same thing. And in our case, it's salvation, to be in heaven with God. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We're going to be tempted. We're going to be tried. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up, and we know that. God knows that. But we have to not let that get to us. I also mentioned this morning. We as humans have a hard time forgiving not just other people that do us wrong, but mainly ourselves. We can't forgive ourselves because we know that if we ask forgiveness from God, God forgives it and it's gone. But we'll think about stuff that happened 10 years ago like it happened yesterday. Because we can't forgive ourselves. So we have to forgive and forget some of these things that we do in our lives in order to stay on the right path. Because if you don't, you're just going to fall into a slump. And you're going to start falling off the wrong path because you're going to start saying to yourself, "I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to make it. I mess up all the time, and there's no way I can do it." You start thinking negative, and before you know it, you're nowhere to be found on the path. You're running the race in the opposite direction. The juice will be worth the squeeze. I know that life is hard. I know that things don't go the way you want it to. I know that, you know, there's deaths, there's just unfortunate events that happen in your life. But it's all worth it in the end. If you can persevere through that and get over that hump, whatever it may be. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. "And after these things," I want you to turn to it in this one. I said, I don't know where it went. Revelation 19. I feel like I'm cheating using that paper every time, so I'm going to turn. Verse 1 through 5. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord, our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they said, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. So, you're going to have these sins, and you're going to have sins that get you every time. Not just sometimes, but every time it comes around, every time it pops its head up, that's where you're going to fall. But through the blood of Christ, you have the chance to get away from that. You have the chance to turn your life completely around. You don't have to worry and about these things that are happening to you and this problem that you continue to fall to. Because now, sometimes it's easier said than done, but to repent and be forgiven, and you can turn away. And that's the price that Jesus paid for us, whether we didn't deserve it. But that's why the juice will be worth the squeeze. Finally, we'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we'll go, and I'll just read and then I'll stop. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear for the battle of the Lord, and we will give into your hands. I'm going to go down here to where. And David, 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face of the earth. Giants always have weaknesses. The giant in this sense can be that sin that you struggle with. It could be somebody in your life that's throwing kinks into your plan. But giants have a weakness. Goliath did. Overconfident, maybe. He doubted David's ability. He doubted the power of God. All of these things in your life that bring you down, they don't respect the power of God. They don't know what God can do. They don't know what God has done. So we have to keep our heads up and know that we must focus on things that are not seen. It may seem like a big task, but there may be something completely obvious right there in front of us we're not paying attention to. An easy way to get out of it. An easy way to turn away from it and not have to worry about it anymore. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what our faith is. We don't have to know that there's an obvious way to stop doing the things that we do. We don't have to be able to see everything in our life that comes our way. We're going to get blindsided. But with faith, we don't have to know. Because with faith, we know that God is going to take care of us. God is going to make sure we stay on the right path, make sure that we have the best path in our life to get to that point. So my question to you tonight is, are you ready to take advantage of your shot? There's been many, many people in this world that wasted their shot. You only get one. You don't get another chance. And when judgment day comes, it's not time then to be trying to fix things in your life. At that point, it's too late. So we have to be like David. He had faith. He knew that God would deliver Goliath into his hands. He knew that God would protect him. And we have to do the same thing. So today, if you're here, and you've been wasting a couple of shots, you had a couple of practice shots, and it's not going your way, we would love, I know I would, and I know there's many people here that would love to sit down and talk with you and help you to find answers to some questions that you might be wondering. Or if you're here and you've never been a child of God and like to do so tonight, would you please come as we stand and sing?